This is our last week as we study worship together. Let's pray. Lord, now as we open your word, I pray that you would take me completely out of the way and help us to hear from you. Lord, your word is powerful and it touches us on deep, deep levels. And we ask that you, by your spirit, would apply your word this morning. Those of us that need to be encouraged or convicted, challenged, Lord, I pray that you would do that. Above all, Lord God, I pray that we would be able to worship you with all our hearts. For we ask it in your name. Amen. You know, one of the things that the Bible is full of, please be seated, I'm sorry. I assume you know that. And so here I go. I'm already off onto the next thing. And one of the things that the Bible is full of is rich imagery. And one of the things that I've struggled with for years and finally just had to say, well, God chose it and I'm going to have to live with it. And that's that I'm the bride of Christ. I don't picture myself as a bride. I just don't. And yet, compared to Christ, I suppose all of us, you know, on one level, that is who we are. We're his bride. His beautiful bride, his bride that he has died for. And so that imagery has troubled me. And then there's other imagery. There's things that David talks about when David talks about dancing and all kind of, and you sit back and you go, wait a minute, here and where I grew up, I mean, you wouldn't say that, you know? And yet David talks about that. And so as I was listening to Jamie's song, the thought that struck me was, you know what? We express our innermost feelings, sometimes through poetry, and that came right out of the Psalms, many of those thoughts. And to just be able to express our heart to God in a special way, and sometimes in images that are powerful to us, is really good. So I want to I don't see her, but I want to thank Jamie for singing that song and the fact that we're held by the one that loves us. Now, I have to be honest, I still would rather be the warrior, and I'm talking about fortresses and that kind of stuff. That imagery's there too. But the Bible's full of all of those things. And so the Lord speaks to us in different ways. When I fell madly in love with Carol, and it was almost at the first day, it really was true that way for me, after a while, she finally figured out that I wasn't going anywhere, so she thought, well, I might as well take him home and meet the family. So I went down to meet her family, and at that time, there were 17 brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. It's way, way, way past that now. But 17 brothers and sisters and wives. So all the way down, we're driving. I'm saying, okay, so now Bill goes with who? Okay, with Scylla. And I'm memorizing all these names, you know, trying to get all these names down. So when I get there, I got them all together. And it was a daunting experience, you know, to meet Dad and to meet Mom and to meet brothers and sisters and try to make a good impression. You know, I mean, that's obviously what I'm trying to do. The hardest thing for me was my first Sunday there. Now, see, I'm a person who, if you give me black beans, tortillas, and eggs, I can eat that every day for breakfast and be thrilled. I think that's the best breakfast in all the world. I really do. Throw some salsa on there, we're good. But Carol's family, Sundays especially, had oatmeal. Oatmeal. I mean, the slimy stuff they throw in a bowl. Oh, mercy. And they plopped a bowl. They didn't ask me. I mean, they just gave me the biggest bowl known to man and said, here you go. And I'm going, oh, no, really? And I looked over at the woman I loved and I said, this is her family. This is what they like. I'm digging in. I will enjoy this. And for years, Carol never knew I didn't like oatmeal. Finally, I don't know how many kids later, I finally said, you know, do you realize that I really don't like oatmeal? And she came to my rescue and we figured out a way to not offend the family. But why did I do that? Because I loved her and I wanted to enter into her family and the things that were involved there. It's a little bit like worship. We all have preferences. We all have likes and dislikes. And just because I like this and you like this doesn't mean we can't worship together. I mean, I don't like oatmeal. I like beans and tortillas. That doesn't mean we can't worship and spend time together, if you take that musically or style of worship or whatever to symbolize that. So as we look at this morning, I really want to just take some time to look at what does the scripture say about what is it that really matters in worship and some other things, just kind of It's going to maybe seem disjointed, but I hope it has a flow for you and that you understand my heart in this. Is that as we worship, as we come together, it will be about Jesus and not about anything else. Okay, so that's if you take nothing away today, remember that. You got it. You want to go to sleep? Go ahead. But I'm going to go ahead and go through this since I put it together. Is there a cultural language, type of music, worship style that is better than the rest? Good question to ask. And if most of us would be honest, we would say something like, yes, the one that I like. The one that I like is the one that's best, right? I mean, hey, I'd be happy to say that. The reality is, I know that isn't true, but I would say that if I was being honest. Yeah, you do it in the style that I like and the music that I like, I'll be thrilled. I mean, think of the different styles. There's many more than what I'm going to mention here. But some people like a really traditional kind of music and a very reflective kind of worship. Some people like contemporary music and expressive worship. Some people like classical music and liturgical worship. And there's nothing wrong with any of those or other combinations that you might find. You go to South America, you're going to find worship that you wouldn't believe in the style of music and the way that they do their service. You go to Asia, the same thing. So as I was thinking through this whole thought, I thought, okay, let's just start looking at some scripture. And we've looked at Revelation a couple of times already in the last couple of weeks. Let's look at one last passage in Revelation that deals with worship. And it starts in Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Isn't that going to be awesome? I mean, that's just going to be so cool. Standing before the throne in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches, perhaps symbols of purity. And maybe the palm branches are reflecting back to waving the branches when Christ entered Jerusalem and the whole idea that they're talking about him as king. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to the Lord, to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And I won't take all that apart. I'll let you go back and meditate on that this week. But think of all the things that are reflected there in worship. They're standing. They're waving palm branches. They're shouting. Salvation belongs to God. I mean, can you imagine a throng of people beyond number shouting in unison together? Wow, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I wonder in heaven, is there going to be just one style of music or worship? And I think the answer to that is no. Why? Well, I think the answer is that when we see Jesus, nothing else is going to matter. Jesus will be the focus, and we may be doing Latin chants for all I know, although I think Spanish will be the language of heaven, personally. Yeah. But no matter what the style of worship, no matter what the type of music, we can worship if we choose. If we choose. That's choice is really up to us. So how can we worship? And the first one's already there. Worship is not about feelings or circumstances. It's about a change of focus. It's about coming and saying, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Focus on him. And when I get that straight, if I get that part straight, a lot of the rest of it falls into place. If I get the part straight where when I am coming to gather with others, it's about Jesus and not about me, suddenly everything works a lot better. The second thing, worship is about a person, not about a place. It's not about the building necessarily or even the direction the building is facing. There's all kinds of things it's not about. But it is about one thing, and that's about the person of Jesus Christ. I worship God, and I focus my heart and soul on him. And that's what I do in worship. And so a third one would be worship is about expressing my heart and passion to God. I think I've got that wrong in your notes. It should be two, not four, although both apply. I may not get to express it always in the style of music that I like or in a particular format that I may absolutely be thrilled with, but that doesn't matter. Because it isn't about me and what I like. It's about whether or not I am focusing my heart and my passion and my love for the Lord on him. That's the focus. And if I do that, the other things kind of become peripheral. They kind of fade away. I was talking with James today. By the way, James is going to get to speak to you next week, and we were talking about different things. And one of the things I told James to be careful of was big words, so I had to change that peripheral to something else, because that, you know, you're not supposed to use those kind of big words. Anyway, I enjoy really good music, all kinds of styles. If it's done well, I love it. I really do. I enjoy even mariachi music, which most gringos here would go, really? You know, and hey, I grew up in Mexico. What do you expect, you know? Yet I spent an awful lot of years listening to one of the worst bands in history. I mean, horrendous. It was the Keeler Grade School Band. Okay? I love good bands. I mean, good bands, good orchestras are great. But my daughters played in the Keeler 5th and 6th grade band, and there's a whole bunch of them in a row that did it. So I went and sat through concerts that were about the most awful thing I've ever heard. It was terrible. It really was. None of them are here, so I can actually say that. But you know why I went? I love my daughters. It wasn't about me. I went because I wanted to hear what they were doing. And so I put aside my preferences, I put aside what I wanted, and I went, and I enjoyed my time there because it was focused on them. It's their time. They were doing a concert, and I got to be there and listen to it and clap and cheer for them. We worship because we love Jesus, not because of the style of the worship, the style of the music, or the people involved. We worship because of Jesus. And I think that's something we always got to go back to. And as a church, we have different kinds of music. We do. We have some stuff that's very much classical in nature. Some of it that's a little bit Latin in nature. That probably comes from me. We have some other kinds of music. All different styles. Why? Because all different styles are reflected in the family, this church family here. There are people who like this and some who like that and some who like something different. And it's not that we're saying we're going to try to please everybody. We're just saying all of it has an opportunity to praise God and worship God if He is the focus. Now, why is it that we care about that? Why do we care about bringing in and encouraging and helping others to enjoy the Lord in different styles of music and different ways of worship? Well, 1 Corinthians 16:13. You may not get the connection right away, but let's start there. Now, if you want to know what Paul's closing statement is in the whole book of 1 Corinthians, it would be these two verses. And look at how he finishes off this really difficult letter that he's written to correct all kinds of problems and issues. And he gets to this verse and he says, "Be on your guard," or "be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." So he just finished telling them all kinds of stuff, and they needed to take care of this issue and need to take care of that problem, and I praise you in this, but in this other thing, not so much. You need to shape up. And all this stuff's going on. And he ends by saying, "Be alert, be on guard, watch out for false teachers, stand firm in the faith, don't give up, don't walk away. Be strong and courageous, ask God to give you the strength and the ability to keep on going." And you know the very next phrase after that is this: "Do everything in love." Do everything in love. So be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be strong, be courageous, and do it all in love. Stand for the truth in love. Stand for all of those things firmly, but lovingly. To me, that's just one of the most fascinating combinations you're going to see. I want you to do these things, but this is how I want you to do them. And that's the thought that we have to bring to anything that we're doing as a church. We need to be saying, okay, we stand for the truth, and we want to be firm in our faith, and we want to stand against that which is wrong and is sinful, but we will stand for these things in love. So let's read the verse together. Be on your guard. Together. Here we go. We'll start again. Everybody, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. That's powerful. I'm going to memorize a couple of verses this week. That's a personal challenge. Go ahead and go through those. So we as a family, as one body, we're called to respect each other in every way. And if you really love classical music and that kind of a style of worship, that's great. I'm supposed to love you, encourage you, and join in when that's what we're doing. And if you really like something a little different than that, and it's really not something that I really like, but I'm going to enter into it because I love you and I love the Lord. And we're focusing on Him through that particular music. So it's important for all of us, whatever the style of music or the style of worship or whatever that's going on, it's important for us to enter into all of it. I ate oatmeal, not because I thought oatmeal was great, but because I love Carol. And sometimes I enter into songs that I may not enjoy the actual musical part of it that much, but I love the Lord, I love my brothers and sisters, and quite honestly, the words are what matter to me. And I look at those words and I focus my heart and my soul on Jesus and I can sing. Because that's what God has called me to do. So how can we do all of this? Well, we need to be passionate about the Lord, expressing our love for Him. Make Him the focus no matter what. As I walk in the doors, it should be, this is about Jesus. It's about Jesus, not about me. By realizing that the music, the style, whatever it is that we're doing, those are just tools. That's all they are. They're nothing more, nothing less than that. There are different ways of worshiping God. I could take you to some places in Mexico where all they use is accordions to worship and sing. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you use accordions? And yet, when I'm there, I go, yeah, this is awesome. Take you to some places in Asia where you think the music is just, oh man, it hurts your ears. It's so different from what we do. But you enter into it because it's from the Lord. And it's people focusing their hearts on the Lord. And so I accept the fact that I don't always get my preference, but I focus on Jesus. And that's the important thing. So worship is a heartfelt, passionate focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Now I'm going to transition a little bit. That's what we do together. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about personal, because I think there's several different kinds. When we leave this place, we can be involved in personal worship. Me by myself as I'm meeting with the Lord, but also work as a lifestyle or worship as a lifestyle. I can be worshiping the Lord in the things that I do. As a family or as a couple, I can worship God with my spouse or with my kids. There's also the whole idea of corporate worship, which we were just talking about, where we gather together for worship or together worship, if you want to call it that. But the question really is, can I really worship God and drive my car? Can I worship God and go to work? Can I worship God and change diapers? And for some people, that might be really hard. But can I worship God and do the normal, everyday things of life? Now, I understand that's not corporate worship. That's not coming together to worship. But let's see what the scriptures say about that. Colossians 3:15 and 16 say this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Common theme there, right? Be thankful with gratitude. And then the verse I want to just spend a couple of minutes focusing on, whatever you do, whether it's word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And when you do it in the name of, what you're saying is, I'm dedicating this action to the Lord. I'm doing my job today as dedication to the Lord. I'm changing this diaper. I don't want to, but my wife is sleeping and I need to do this. And I'm doing it as unto the Lord. I want to dedicate even this. I'm going to have a good attitude and I want to be praising God in my heart for the privilege I have of doing this. And it can be an act of worship. Carol, I'll just give you a couple of examples. Carol asked me perhaps to do some painting at our house. And I put it off and put it off and put it off until I can't put it off any longer. And finally she says, we're doing it today. And so we start doing it. And of course, there's my favorite game, my favorite team playing, and all kinds of stuff going on. And as I'm painting, I'm going, just slapping the paint up there, trying to get on with it so that I can get this done and get back to watching the game. And is that worship? Yeah, probably not. Who's the focus? Me. What do I want? I want to watch the game. I don't want to paint. That's ridiculous. Now, take the same scenario. And I get up and I realize, okay, this is what Carol's asked me to do. I love and honor her, and I want to do this in a way that honors her and also honors God. So I say, Lord, you know, it's not my favorite thing, but I want to do it well, and I want to do it in a way that has a good attitude. So again, I want to do this for you. And in that simple act, that can become my worship, or part of my worship, as I focus on Him. Another passage, Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And what's that sacrifice of praise? Fruit of lips that confess His name. In other words, fruit of lips that say, yes, You are sovereign. You are in control. I believe that. I thank You for the fact that You're in control. And I want to live my life under Your control. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. Why? For with such sacrifices, doing good, maybe even when you don't want to, and sharing with others, maybe even when it's hard to, with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And so, whatever I do can be an act of worship. And we Romans 12:1 talks about offering our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because it is an act of worship. And we offer our lives, every bit of our lives, every day to the Lord and say, Lord God, somehow I want to honor You today. Can You help me to worship You no matter what I'm doing? So as I'm driving, I can worship You. So that I'm working, or I'm going to my job and my boss just hates God. And yet, even though I know He's going to say hard things to me and poke at me, help me to respond in a godly way. And Lord God, I dedicate the time I'll be there to You, and I ask You to use me in some way to touch this man. And so as we live each day can become a time for worship. So that's the personal, if you will, and maybe family worship can fit in with that as well. But I want to go back now and talk a little bit more just about together worship, united in worship. And we're going to go back to look at some verses together. So we worship together because of what? Well, first of all, God tells us to. You know, I shared with you a story. I had a neighbor who would come to church a few times back in Detroit, and he loved the church and everything else, but he loved hunting and fishing a whole lot more. And so his thing was, well, I can worship God when I'm hunting and fishing. Well, yeah, you can. But do you? That was one question. And the second thing is, when do you come together for worship like God calls us to? And at that point, he didn't have a whole lot of answer. But we worship together because God tells us to. And in Hebrews 10, we're going to look at verse 25, but the context flowing into it is 19 and 20, we're told we have a new way to enter God's presence, and it's through the death of Jesus. And then in verse 21 and 22, we have a great high priest who intercedes with us so that we can be close to God and know Him and personally go right into His presence. In verse 23, in these troubled times, he's writing to people who are struggling, who are being persecuted, who are wondering if it's time to go back to Judaism because being a Christian is just too hard. And he's writing to them and he says, hang on to your hope. Don't give up. And in verse 24, he says, so when you're together, encourage each other and challenge each other and stir each other up to do those things that you should. And then in verse 25, he says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now as the day of his return is appearing. So keep on meeting together is one thing that he's saying there. Don't neglect it. Do it. And so we are called to do that. And as we come together, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to encourage each other. And so we challenge and encourage each other. And then, of course, we focus on the Lord together. We are the body of Christ. And we are called together to focus our hearts and our passion on Him. And to see Him and to love and honor Him. Second thing, we worship together because God wants us to be united. Now, implied in united is that we aren't all in a separate place. I can't be united with you if each one of us is in 100 different places. There's no unity in that. So from time to time, at least, the statement is, He wants us to be united. Look at what it says in Romans 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ. What's the unity all about? We're all following Jesus. That's where the unity comes. So that with one heart and mouth, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One heart, one mouth. Glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So I'm supposed to accept my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of what? Because it says here that as I do that, as I accept my brothers and sisters in Christ, as I gather with them and as we focus on the Lord together, I am bringing praise and honor to God as a result of being together and being unified together. So really the question comes down to, will I glorify God or not? That's really the choice that's there. It isn't will I glorify God or a whole bunch of options. It's will I choose to accept my brothers and sisters and join with them and be united with them and glorify God, or will I choose not to? It's one or the other. It can't be both. And I can choose to join with my brothers and sisters because Christ accepted me, and I'm supposed to accept each of you in that same way. So how can I do that? And how do I think that through in terms of coming together for times of worship? And I'll just give you this example. For several years now, a group of us have gone to the Moody Bible Institute Pastors Conference, and it's a wonderful time. And any guy that wants to go, please see me. We'd love to have you go with us next year when we go. But we get together and we have a chance to hear from some great speakers and hear God's word. We have a great time to just be together as good friends. We get to eat great pizza. It's amazing. And we get to sing with anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 guys. And that's incredible. It's amazing. Now, one time, someone was up there leading the musical part of the worship, and he was using a pipe organ. Now, just so you understand, I love Bach concertos and that kind of thing. I love pipe organ music. I hate singing with a pipe organ. I mean, I hate singing with a pipe organ, any organ, really, because it can't hear anything. That's me. That's my thing, and I don't like it. And so here we come in. I see him pulling the organ apart. I see the guy sitting down and pulling out all these stuff. So I'm thinking, oh, no, this is horrible. What happened? Who was I focusing on? I wasn't focusing on the Lord at all. And the Lord had to really shake me up a little bit and say, look around you. There's people singing their hearts out and praising God. What's your problem? And the problem was I didn't like it. And so I had to stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm wrong. I confess that. And look at the words and say, okay, now I will sing. And the guys still make jokes about me in that time frame too, because they all noticed. But you see what's going on here? It isn't really about me, or it shouldn't be. It should be about the Lord. Now just real quickly, some thoughts on how do we prepare for worshiping together? There's a whole bunch of things I could say here, but let me just share, first of all, worship for next week starts as you leave this place today. Because as you leave this place today, you should be saying, okay, God, I do want to worship you this week. I want to honor you this week. And so all week long, I should be thinking, okay, how can I put this into practice? How can I think about the things that I thought about, and how can I pursue God in this week? Second thing, all week, be eagerly looking forward to Sunday. Be thinking, okay, that's coming, and I get the privilege of worshiping with God's people. So I set that aside and think, okay, that's coming. I can't wait. And I think of it that way. So that's just a couple of points that I think really are helpful. But now let me just give you some Saturday night preparation things. These are just from my own personal experience. Saturday preparation for worship. By the way, there are things that I could do Saturday night that will make me not help me when it comes to worshiping on Sunday. Just so you know, there are things that I have to be thinking through. But the first thing you can do all week long, and Saturday night especially, pray for the pastor, pray for me. Say, God, help Mark. Work in him. Pray for the teachers, Sunday school teachers, children's church teachers. Pray for the musicians. Pray for Daniel as he leads us in that musical part of worship. Get some sleep. I'll never forget when I was a high schooler, Saturdays was my night to not sleep, and so I wouldn't sleep, and then of course I had to be in church the next morning, and I tell you, talk about ornery. When I don't get sleep, it's not real easy for me to actually worship God the way I'd like to. So get some sleep. if at all possible. The less sleep I get, by the way, the more self-focused I become. Maybe you're not like that, but me, that's just the way I am. Prepare your heart. And what I mean by that is say, Lord, is there anything I haven't confessed? 1 John 1:9 is that. If I confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Tim, go ahead and put that up there, if you would, please. Is it there? There it is. So we confess our sins, preparing our hearts. And then don't get sidetracked. There's lots of ways that we can get into other things, and it's time to just say, okay, I'm going to get ready for tomorrow, or I'm going to get ready to worship. What can I do? Plan ahead so you're not rushed. When Carol and I had three little ones, it just seemed like we had to really think that through in order to get there on time and to do the things that we wanted to do. But I'm going to give you one last challenge. A professor of mine from Moody Bible Institute, Bill Thrasher, we've actually studied his book on prayer here. He started many years ago a practice that he does on Saturday nights. Let me just challenge you with this practice. He sits down on Saturday night and he writes down three things that are, two or three things that are his concern or that he's worried about or things that he's wondering about, things that he just is kind of heavy on his heart. And he writes those things down and then he says, Lord, as I go tomorrow to worship you, I'd love for you to speak to me in any of those areas that you choose to. And then he goes to church and he's watching. And he's eager and he's waiting to see if one of the songs they sing might have something to say to him. Or if someone that he talks to in between the services comes up and somehow just shares something that's exactly what he needed. Or the sermon or something else touches him. And then as he sees that happen later that afternoon or evening, he sits down and just writes down very, very quickly. This is what happened. Let me just challenge you to do that. Because if you come with that kind of expectation, saying, God, this is on my heart. How will you speak to me about that today? And then you come and you're going, okay, what's it going to be? Where's he going to do this? You'd be surprised how many times God actually specifically touches exactly what you're praying about. So I just want to challenge you to do that. What do we take away from all this? What do we take away? I've had the really wonderful privilege of visiting churches and Christians in lots of different places and lots of different countries and cultures. And I would never trade that for anything. It's a privilege. It's amazing. But each situation has its potential for problems. I never forget one church I visited many years ago. Because of the music in the church, people left. Okay, just because of the music. Now, in the same church, exact same church, one group left because it was too modern, and one group left because it was too ancient or whatever, too traditional. Same church. And yet both sets just said, you know what, that's it. You know, they're not doing what we want, so we're going to leave. And what was the focus? Their own preferences. I visited another church, and it was actually a coming together of several churches for a special time together, and as we came in about 15, 20 minutes before the service, we're talking to each other and greeting each other. This was in South America. And someone got up and got in the mic and just scolded us. Just said, how in the world can you expect the blessing of God if you're sitting out there talking? You should be sitting there quietly meditating on the Lord. So for him, the only thing that would bring anything helpful would be for us to sit there quietly and meditate on God. Now, please understand, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But his focus at that point in time was what he wanted, not the fact that there were brothers and sisters that hadn't seen each other in a year and were saying hi and how are things going, and we still had 20 minutes before the service started. But thinking about worship and thinking about getting sidetracked into our own preferences, these verses came to mind. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, if you have any of that, Paul says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Wow, powerful words, aren't they? And Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. And then he kicks it up, I think, another notch. Look what he says in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. When you think about types of music, styles of worship, preferences, take these words and think about it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, Mark, don't let your preferences dominate your thinking and become a demand. You're there to worship the Lord. And there's a danger when I allow my own wanting something, like I don't want to hear pipe organ music. When I let that dominate my thinking, for a period of time, I was worthless when it came to worshiping the Lord, and the guys around me noticed. He goes on to say, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. There's nothing wrong with personal preferences. Please don't hear me saying personal preferences are wrong. We all have them, and there's nothing wrong with them unless the preference is a sin. That's definitely wrong. But we all have preferences. That's okay. God made us all different. And we can celebrate the fact that you like this and I like that, but you know what? We both love Jesus. Let's focus on that. And I should do that, Paul says, in humility, considering others better than myself. And he goes on to say in verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interest. Now, he's not saying make sure you look to your own interest. He's saying, I know you do that already. So put that to one side and also consider the interest of others. I'm thinking about being with my brothers and sisters, and Paul is saying, hey, your own interests, they're not as important as what's going on for your brother and sister. Think about them. Think about what's going on in their hearts. Think about the struggles they may have. And join in a positive way, thinking of their interests above your own. I just really want you to hear my heart here. It is so easy to become divided over these kinds of issues. It was never supposed to be that way. Isn't that supposed to be that way? We are supposed to consider others. We're supposed to join in together. There'll be things I like or don't like. There'll be things you like and don't like. That's okay. Can we love Jesus together? Can we focus on Him? Can we take and make sure that what happens is a heart that celebrates Christ? That's worship. That's worship. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wonder that you have made us to be worshipers. Wow. And thank you that you've called us to worship you and only you. Lord, I confess many times I get uptight and upset about my own desires and preferences. And Lord, help me to be able to look at others and to see you and to join in and enjoy and celebrate you. And Lord, now as we move into this time of remembering what you did for us on the cross, may this be a precious and special time. For we ask it in your name.